The reading tonight is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 1 down to 16. Elijah replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver." The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, "That couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." But Elijah replied, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." Now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked one another. "We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway." So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us," they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents and horses and donkeys and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back to the city and told the gatekeepers what had happened. "We went out to the Aramean camp," they said, "and no one was there. The horses and donkeys were tethered, and the tents were in order, but there wasn't a single person around." Then the gatekeepers shouted the news to the people in the palace. The king got out of bed in the middle of the night and told his officers, "I know what's happened. The Arameans know we are starving, so they have left their camp and have hidden in the fields. They're expecting us to leave the city, and then they will take us alive and capture the city." One of his officers replied, "We had better send out scouts to check into this. Let them take 5 of the remaining horses. If something happens to them, it will be no worse than if they stay here and die with the rest of us." So 2 chariots with horses were prepared, and the king sent scouts to see what had happened to the Aramean army. They went all the way to the Jordan River, following a trail of clothing and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their mad rush to escape. The scouts returned and told the king about it. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. So it was true that 5 quarts of choice flour was sold that day for 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. Good to see you. Thank you for coming. Well, standing here, I do feel a bit rather humbled, completely overwhelmed, and quite inadequate. But I just trust the Lord will see me through. After all, it says, "He who called is faithful." Just have to hang on to that. But also really excited at this moment, because at this time, over the last couple of weeks, we've had several new ministers and clergy coming into the town to start their ministry. So it's really good and exciting to be able to welcome them amongst us, to see what the Lord wants to do amongst us as churches together. Can we have the first slide up now? Thank you. That's a familiar picture, isn't it? towns, cities, villages, all over the country, the other countries as well. It's a familiar sight because we're so much physical hunger today. And as organisations such as us, we are good at trying to alleviate this problem through social action. But you know, there's spiritual hunger as well, isn't there? People are spiritually hungry and needy, though they may not realise it. They think they are okay and have everything. There's a famine of the word of God. We've left God out of things for so long, and we're reaping the consequences in society today. So what are we as the people of God going to do about this? Well, I want to look at this passage that was read, little story that's tucked away in the Old Testament and might not be very familiar, but I think it can tell us quite a bit about our mission. So what's happening here? Well, you do really need to read a few chapters before to get the whole picture of what's happening. It's in the time of Elisha the prophet, when God's people are being troubled by the Arameans, or sometimes they're called the Syrians. They besieged the city of Samaria and caused a great famine there, so the people were holed up in the city, with the result that there was extortion and inflation to buy the bare necessities. And even mothers were considering eating their own children. Things were that bad. Although the king, who was the son of Ahab and Jezebel, those wicked king and queen, was weak and evil and did not see God in any way, of course he blamed Elisha and God for the situation. And he wanted Elisha's head. But Elisha prophesied that by the next day there would be a great reversal of the situation. There would be food enough for everyone. Of course, this was met by skepticism by the king's commanding officer. That's not possible. Even if the Lord opened the floodgates of heaven, it just couldn't happen. Just you wait and see, Elisha said. You will see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it. However, we read that there were four men, lepers, outside the city gates. Of course, they weren't allowed into the city because they were unclean. So they found themselves between a rock and a hard place. Why sit here until we die, they said. Let's go into the Aramean camp. We can't be any worse off. They may take pity on us and give us some food. If not, we're going to die anyway. So they made their way into the camp under cover of darkness. And to their surprise, we read they found it completely empty. Absolutely no one there. That's because we read the Lord had made the army hear the sound of chariots and horses and marching, and they thought that the enemy were coming to attack them, so they'd fled from their camp, leaving it deserted. Well, try and imagine what it must have been like for these four lepers going into that camp and finding all this food. They went into one tent after another, and they gorged themselves on the food that they found. Well, can't blame them, can you? We've probably done the same thing. They found silver and gold and clothing, and they stashed it away. But after a while, when they were comfortably full, the reality of the situation dawned on them. They said, you know, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. Let's go at once and report it to the king. This is a day of good news, they said, and we must share it with others. You know, we too are living in a day of good news. How the world needs good news, doesn't it? How those poor migrants and refugees need good news. And we see all around us physical hunger and the need for food banks caused by poverty and people not being able to manage their lifestyles, maybe money spent on addictions and wrong things. And many organizations such as ourselves are doing what we can to alleviate that need. As I said, there is a spiritual famine as well. People are not flocking to church as they used to. They're not hungering and thirsting after God. We have good news to share. But over the past 2,000 years, we haven't done a very good job of it. So much of the world today still has not heard the gospel. People around us do not seem to know or care about Christianity. So what are we to do? Let's look and see the actions of these four men, what it tells us. But first of all, they saw the need and they responded to it. They saw their responsibility. Let's go and tell. We've got good news to share. You know, and so do we. We live in a day of good news. Ever since the angels announced to those shepherds on the fields above Bethlehem on that first Christmas, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. A Saviour has been born to you. This is the good news we have to share. And Jesus' stated purpose at the onset of his ministry was to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed. This he went on to demonstrate when he healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead, and fed the hungry. And he's passed that mantle over to us, his followers. But people don't come into church like once they did. So we've got to find new ways of engaging with all those people who have not as yet heard that good news. It's responsibility for us as individuals and as churches. It's a fact that most people who come to faith do so because of someone telling them about Jesus and what he has done in their life. And I'm sure we all know people in our family or close circle of friends, in the office, in school, who have not yet come to faith. And if we don't tell them, who will? Some are diffident about talking about our faith, that we can talk freely about anything else, like the weather or the rugby. Maybe it's fear that we'll be mocked or ridiculed. Maybe we just don't know what to say. But remember, we do have Jesus' promise to be with us and the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world, he said. Now, most of us won't be called to the ends of the earth. It may only be to the person next door in need. In our town or community, that's our Jerusalem. It's where we are. And Jesus said you will be. Not you might be if you feel like it on a good day. And the thing is, we are witnesses whether we know it or not. Are we good witnesses? And people watch us, especially if they know we go to church. They expect us to behave differently. But sadly, Christians seem to be viewed as hypocrites, double standards, and very not much different to themselves. And we can witness by the way we live our lives. It was St. Francis of Assisi who told his followers, as you go, preach the good news. Use words if necessary. We have a wonderful story to share of a Saviour who loves us so much he was willing to die a cruel death on a cross that we might have our sins forgiven and the hope of new life now and forever. And the cross before us is a symbol of God's love, and we see Jesus' arms outstretched saying, I love you this much. Do you know how much the Lord loves you? And if we know that love, we have a responsibility to share it with others. Of telling what the Lord has done for us. Now, our faith story may not be as dramatic as that of Paul on the road to Damascus, but it's our story. We may not know all the theological answers, but just like the blind man who was healed, he could say, I don't know what happened. All I know is once I was blind, now I can see. And we all have a once I was story to tell. But now the Lord has made all the difference. And people should be able to see that difference in our lives, in the way we react to situations that will surprise them. And maybe we have the opportunity of telling them about Jesus. So we've seen these four lepers felt the responsibility to share the good news. We have found food. And instead of sharing our faith, is simply one poor beggar telling another poor beggar where to find food. And there are many spiritually hungry people around. So having resolved to go and tell the good news, the leper said, if we wait till daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. They realized the urgency of the matter. They had to do it straight away. Maybe they thought they'd get into trouble for not going sooner or for eating the food and hiding the goods. Let's go at once. There was no time to lose. So they realized that the people in the city were starving too. And they had compassion on them, on these people who had previously shunned them for being unclean. And they went to tell them the good news. As we look around us, don't we see countless people dying spiritually because they are without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world? People living only for the moment, living for themselves, their lives taken up with careers, business ambitions, putting their trust and hope in possessions and money without a thought of what might happen when they die. As Christians, we believe that Jesus is coming again. to take us to be with him forever. But we don't know when that will be. We're told it will happen suddenly, unexpectedly. He will come like a thief in the night. So we have to be prepared for whenever he comes or calls us home. And time is going on. We see all around the signs of those end times. Persecutions, wars, natural disasters, and they seem to be escalating. Somehow we don't grasp the urgency of the situation. Maybe 2,000 years has made us apathetic, and we've lost that sense of urgency. The writer of the Hebrews constantly reminded his readers to respond, saying, "Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation." There is urgency to spread the good news while it is today, because one day it will be too late. Of course, not all will be wanting to hear what we have to say. Some won't care, some won't believe, some will be hostile. But that's always been the case. In the story, when the lepers went and shared the good news, it was the king who was skeptical. It's a trick to get us inside this camp, then they pounce on us and attack us. It was only when one of his men wisely counseled the king, why not send a few men to find out what the situation is? So they did and found out it was true. So the people in the city were able to raid the camp and find the food they desperately needed. See, go and see was good advice. And that's a message we can give too. The word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just give it a try. See what for yourself what the Lord can do for you. But remember, when Elisha had foretold that a great reversal of events would come about by the next day, the commanding officer did not believe. He said, "That will never happen." But remember what Elisha had said. "Just you wait. It will happen. You'll see it, but you won't taste any of it." And sadly, that came true. Because if we read on for the next few verses, it told us that he did see the provision of food in the camp, but he was killed in a stampede to get into the camp. He did not believe that it was possible, that with God all things are possible. No, there will be varying reactions to our good news. But Jesus' words and deeds were met with disbelief, hostility, or anger. They accused him of being mad. And he said his followers could expect the same. "Go and tell," he said. These lepers saw the responsibility to go and tell and the urgency of the situation. Finally, there was unity involved here as well. "Let us go. Let's go together. We're in this together." And there is a collective responsibility in our mission too. Of course, we have an individual responsibility to those whom only we know. But as churches, we must reach out to those around us in need. It's said that the church is the only institution that exists for the benefit of its non-members. As well as caring for our own members in the church, we do have a duty of care to those outside as well. I know that has happened here in Penarth in so many ways. We are in this together. And we gather together here this evening as representatives from many different fellowships in Penarth and districts. And it's good to come together occasionally to share worship like this. To mention some of the things that we do together, the March of Witness, the Lent groups and lunches, the songs of praise, the carol singing, our support of the Soto Trust, and of course in our support of the food bank. But unity does not mean we have to do everything together or all do the same thing. We have our own areas of mission, whether it's work with youth, seniors, messy church, serving midday meals, street work, or the homeless. And that's as it should be. We don't all need to do everything. We are the body of Christ. In our bodies, each bit has its own part to play. The eyes see, the ears hear, the feet walk. But when each bit does its job, the whole body functions as it should. And so with us. As long as we have all the same purpose of extending God's kingdom here in Penarth, in all that we seek to do, that is what matters. Hopefully in that we can be truly united. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, when faced with so many hungry people, the reaction of the disciples was to send the people away so they could buy for themselves something to eat. But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." You give. And we know how he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples to give out, and all were fed. And I think in getting the disciples involved in the sharing out of the bread, Jesus is giving them a glimpse of their future mission after Jesus' death and resurrection, when it would be their task of taking the good news of Jesus' broken body to a hungry and needy world. And that's our mission too. The news we have to share is good news. The good news of salvation is for all who are spiritually hungry. It's free. It's abundant. It's forever. Remember the 12 baskets left over? It's something we cannot earn or buy. It is a gift of God. And the price has already been paid by Jesus' broken body on the cross when he offered himself as the bread of life. Those first disciples were faithful to their calling, and we must be too. God has no plan B. It's up to us. We are the only instruments God has in this world. We are his hands and feet, his eyes and ears and voices. We must show our faith in action. Remember James's words in his letter? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So many people come for help from the food bank, and we're so grateful for the support of the churches in the district, not only the food, the financial help, and the practical help as well. When people come here for their food on a Wednesday, they're offered a cup of tea and coffee and invited to stay for a chat. Relationships are built up. It's become clear that there are deep-seated needs in their lives that providing a bag of food in itself cannot address. So came about the vision of partnering with Christians Against Poverty, or CAP, as it's called. This organization is changing lives for the better and giving people hope. It's a holistic approach, helping people get to grips with their finances and their debts, helping them with job applications, get back into work, providing befrienders to keep them on track, and hopefully helping people in recovery at a later stage. So this is more than just giving a bag of food that might last a few days, but something which will improve their lives long term. As we see in a moment, it's truly life-changing. Now, we at TABS have started this project, but it is for the benefit of the whole community. We have some people already trained for the task. However, it was never intended to be a TABS monopoly, and we'd love to see people from other fellowships come along and be part of it too. Appropriate training will be given. So please make the scheme known to anyone in your church who you feel could make use of the offer of the help that's on offer there. Bring them along. If you feel you have the skills needed and could be involved in some way, then find out more. It's in its embryonic stage at the moment, but we do trust it will grow. Talk to someone after if you want to know more. I'd like to think that while we don't have to do everything together or do the same things, there might be a partnership between us whereby we support each other not just by prayer, but in practical ways as well. Maybe sharing our resources or skills or people power when needed for a particular occasion. After all, we're not in competition with each other, but partners in God's kingdom work. And CAP is just an example of how we might do that. So let's be the people who, whether it's individual fellowships or as churches together, seek to reach out into our community by our love in action, so that the many needy, hungry people might feed, find the bread they need, and so much more. Those four men saw their responsibility, the urgency and the unity of their mission. May we do the same. You know, I've heard it said from a quote by Theodore Roosevelt, "People need to know we care about them before they will care about what we know." I'll read that again. People need to know we care about them before they will care about what we know. And that's so true. They have to know we care. Again, thank you all for coming. Please stay afterwards and share fellowship over refreshments. First of all, we're going to watch a short video clip showing the difference the CAP has made in people's lives. And then as we sing another song, our collection will be taken, which will go towards CAP and the food bank. And the song that we'll be singing may not be familiar to you, but I feel it speaks about what we are about as churches together. We are the church. We are the hope on earth. Thank you. God bless you all. Amen. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. We say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.